thoughts in this session, and I want to just ask God to help us control our thoughts as we listen, okay? God, thank you so much for all your goodnesses to us this week. Just over and over and over again, you've blessed us in so, so many ways with teaching and with fellowship and with new relationships and just seeing your goodness and being able to meditate on how good you are. And so we just come to you just so thankful for all your goodnesses to us this week. Thank you, Lord, for what we're going to think about now as we think about controlling our thinking. And thanks. Amen. Okay, so what did you think about yesterday? Well, I know a lot of things you thought about because I have the schedule of what you thought about yesterday. But there might have been a few things that you had liberty to think about some other things. So if I told you that in 5 minutes we were going to pull down the screen and play a video of your thoughts yesterday, all of them, would you want to stay for the show? Our thinking can result in depression, in happiness, in anger, in frustration, in kindness, in worry, in joy, in lust, in gentleness, bitterness, tenderness, malice, patience. You can just keep going. Our thinking can result in all of those things. So what kind of person does your thinking make you? In general, you do what you do, and you feel what you feel because you think what you think. You do what you do, and you feel what you feel because you think what you think. And so when thoughts pop into our minds, it often seems as if we're at their mercy, and many of those that we counsel have no idea how to control their thinking. They don't realize that that's something that they can control. They feel like it's there. They just have to deal with it. And so I want to use our time in this session to unpack this and present some guidelines for how to take steps of growth in this area. So let's think first about the capacity of our minds. First, since the brain is the physical organ that the mind uses to do its work, what is the brain's capacity? Well, you probably have heard various things on this from time to time, but we're told that the brain's memory storage capacity is close to around 2.5 petabytes. Have you ever heard of a petabyte?
No.
A petabyte is 1 million gigabytes. So I assume you probably have heard of gigabytes. So 1 million gigabytes. So according to what I read, for comparison, if your brain worked like a digital video recorder in a television, 2.5 petabytes would be enough to hold 3 million hours of TV shows. You would have to leave the TV running continuously for more than 300 years to use up all that storage. So obviously our brains are able to handle a lot and process a lot. Your mind is the most influential part of you. It accounts for your ability to think, to reason, to analyze, to imagine, to remember. In general, you do what you do, and you feel what you feel because you think what you think. In fact, your mind has such influence that the body will respond physically to its direction, even if your mind feeds it false information. So there have been instances in which women have become falsely pregnant because of influence from the mind. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, what happens when you get pregnant? Your breasts enlarge, menstruation ceases, there's movement that seems to be fetal, there's secretion of milk. Women have experienced that without actually being pregnant. It's just because of what their mind is feeding them. Your mind is really influential. People have experienced relief from asthma, hay fever, headaches, high blood pressure, diabetes, peptic ulcers, seasickness, warts, chronic pain, and arthritis from being given sugar pills with no medicinal qualities whatsoever. So what's the significance of that? They thought they were getting real pills. So they got sugar pills, no medicinal qualities whatsoever. They thought they were getting real pills, and they get relief from all those things that I just listed. Your mind is very influential. So you can see we need to control our minds because it has tremendous influence. Let's think about some other reasons why we should control it. We need to control it because it's commanded. In Proverbs 4:23, God says, above all else. Okay, so how big of a priority is this? kind of high one, I guess. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And remember, when we see the word heart in the Bible, what's it generally referring to? mind, the thinking part of you, okay? So above all else, guard your heart, your mind, because everything you do flows from it. So you do what you do and you feel what you feel because you think what you think in your heart. Above all else, God commands us, above all else, guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it. So it's important. Well, why would God command that? You do what you do and you feel what you feel. Have you got what the bottom line for this talk is? I didn't tell you at the beginning of this one. A lot of times I'll say, okay, now if you need to do something else, here's my summary statement. Are you kind of beginning to get what my summary statement might be for this session? You do what you do and you feel what you feel because you think what you think. We also need to control it because temptation begins in our minds. Everything is flowing from our hearts. So the temptation to gossip, to be lazy, to be angry, to be indifferent, to lie, to judge others, to overeat, to do what's easiest, to get revenge, to hold grudges, lust, all those things begin in our minds. Because, oh, you can even quote the bottom line now, can't you? You do what you do and you feel what you feel because you think what you think. And we don't just fall into sinful actions. We think about them. We desire them in our minds before we act them out. James chapter 1, 14 and 15. Each one is tempted when by his own evil desires, and where are desires occurring? In our hearts, right? In the thinking, in our, what we're gonna call minds. When by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, after we've thought about it, it gives birth to sin, and sin gives birth to death. When it's full grown, gives birth to death. All right, then we need to work on this because thoughts that are lovely and admirable don't come automatically. What's the first thing that goes through your mind when a driver cuts you off? Oh, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have the opportunity to put the interest of others first. Is that the lovely thought that just pops into your mind? Lovely thoughts don't come automatically. What's your first response when somebody attacks you unjustly? Oh, God, thank you for this opportunity to examine my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. Lovely thoughts do not come automatically. We also need to control our thinking because God wants us to renew our minds so that we can know and enjoy his wonderfully good ways. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's like God is saying, pay attention to your thinking by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God wants us to renew our minds so that we can know and enjoy his wonderfully good ways. And then we need to work on this because if we don't, we'll become ugly. What happened when Cain got angry? His countenance fell. It influenced the way he looked. Okay? What he was thinking, what was going on inside of him, influenced the way he looked. On the other hand, we're told in Proverbs 15:13 that a merry heart does what? Gives us a cheerful countenance. The way you think influences the way you look. And if we don't work on this, and so we don't work on lovely thoughts when that driver cuts us off and our response is, you fill in the blank, your countenance will start to look like that. And you've seen people who look like that, right? Who look like that. You can look at their faces and tell life has been hard for them. Life has been hard for them. Hindrances to controlling our thinking. So if we're going to guard our hearts, our minds, we're going to pay attention to what we put into them. And if we don't, something will come in and fill the void. And I'm pretty certain it won't be renewed, beautiful thinking. Why not? Well, one reason, because of what's out there for our minds to absorb. Globally, we spend $728 billion annually on advertising. Over 40% of that is U.S. advertising, so we're getting the most of it. Clearly, everywhere you look in today's world, we're swamped by ads. Buy this, watch this, subscribe to this. How many advertisements are we exposed to daily? Back in the 1970s, it was reported the average person saw 500 to 600 ads per day. Per day. Back in the 1970s, 500 to 600 ads per day. And we didn't have